Hebrews chapter 12 for a few minutes this evening. I heard my wife's testimony and that backward hand across the face, and she said, "I thought I was getting an encouraging message," and wow, throwed it in my lap. That was not the intention at all, but it was the reality of it. Seriously, it got thrown in my lap more so than probably anybody. But let's look again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Let's just stay seated tonight. Let's just read together. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And again, looking at the subject of overcoming discouragement in the race of life. And my heart is to get to a place where we can overcome discouragement. And the reality, as I said earlier, my heart wasn't to dump anything into anybody's lap this morning. I promise. Not my intention. However, the Lord knows exactly what we need. And he knows life is full of disappointment and full of discouragement apart from dealing with the weights and the sin in our life. That's why before he ever told us to run and run with patience, that these things would have to be dealt with. God come out of the gate with that. I didn't. That was God's way of dealing with it. And he said, and we dealt with this morning, first we have to commit to a life of faithful running. And in so doing, that requires some things. It requires preparation, we dealt with this morning. And then, secondly, it requires patience. Now, if I could think of any word that would be a step up of away from what we dealt with this morning of preparation, anything harder than having to prepare is patience. Phew, don't ever pray, "Lord, give me patience." that's a hard one. And especially don't pray that while you're in traffic. You'll be repenting in the process. But it does require patience. We're told to run with patience the race which is set before us. So we are, by definition, according to God, if we're saved, we are in already. We are in a race. And when we think about race, we think about winning. Who won the race? You ever hear that? Who won the race? Who you think's going to win the race? This race ain't about winning. This race, and I'll get to it in a minute, this race has already been won. It ain't about winning. Therefore, we can pace ourselves and be patient in the process, because you don't have to worry about winning. You've got to worry about finishing. That's all. Getting across the finish line. Not being first or even last. Just getting there on time. And I jotted this down. The word race means literally a struggle or a contest. The word agony comes from the same Greek word found in our text, race, agony. And boy, don't that sound like life? Sometimes life is good, pleasant, the road's smooth, and the way's easy, but then there's other times it's anything but. Life is a struggle. Life is like running blindfolded through a minefield. You ever feel like that? Like any which way you step, it's that way. And then there's times, listen, life is hard. Life is a struggle. And it is sometimes. It's agonizing just to make it from one day to the next. Ain't you glad it ain't always that way? Thank the Lord for seasons. Thank the Lord the sun comes up in one day and sets the same and starts another. Thank the Lord yesterday's gone and tomorrow hadn't got here yet, but it's coming. And thank the Lord for weeks and months and years. I mean that. I'm glad my whole life ain't categorized with one broad brush, but there's been seasons. And that's how life is. Those times of trouble and those times of agony, that's the times that the Lord is really amplifying. You need to really be patient during them times, because it won't always be that way. If you can just hang on a little while longer, the sun will bust its head again. The sun will come over the horizon again. If you just, and you know what I found? If people know there's hope, they can go through a lot. But when you remove hope from people and they just believe this is how it's going to be, it ain't going to get any better, people give up. But when there's hope that help is on the way and that this too shall come to pass and it'll end, people can go through. It's unbelievable what people can endure. Physical pain, emotional, mental, it's amazing what people can go through if they know. Just for example, cancer is terrible. I hate that word. And if you've been alive and love people any length of time, you don't like that word. Not just I'm afraid that it's going to show up in my body, but I know people that I have loved dearly that cancer has gripped and grabbed their body. And I've seen it suck the life out of people and take their life. And I hate that word. But you know, I've seen people on both sides of the spectrum. Some have gotten the diagnosis and been told, you got 10%. 10%. I mean, that is bad news. But they will go through and give their body to every drug and every bit of radiation and chemotherapy and go through, I mean, hell on earth for that shot. Are you hearing me? Because they know there's a chance. There's a chance of it getting better. And I'm saying, God is saying to us, life can be cancerous. It can hurt, and it can be, I mean, awful and agonizing. But you have a shot if you will be patient and just stay in. Don't quit. And just hold on and endure the hard times. And when I'll tell you something funny, get off of cancer for a minute. That's too hard and heavy. My wife, I better not tell this. I got a note. Oh, I'm the preacher. Sorry, you the singer. I'm just kidding. My wife, y'all want this? I'm going to pay for it. How bad do you want? No, Jerry's up here. Come on. My wife has been, and my daughters have been going working out at the gym. Notice I wasn't in that equation, but they are. And Jenny said, "Me and Ellie went to the gym," and I said, "What are you gonna do?" And Ellie said, "Well, I'm gonna get on the treadmill. I don't even know what they're called." God give me a path or a road to do that on, not standing in place, paying for it. Lord help us, Jesus. But anyway, Jenny said, we started, and I thought, I ain't even broke a sweat. And that is, and they was doing the same thing beside each other and going for like 10 or 15 minutes. And Ella said, well, no wonder, Mama, hit the elevation. She was on flat ground. And Ellie's on the incline, like 4. Jenny said, I bumped it up 2. And immediately, it got hard. And within minutes, I was sweating and agonizing. To use our term tonight. I'm simply saying, you can go through spells when it's flat in life. But you're also going to have some inclines. And you can't quit every time it's uphill. Or you ain't ever going to get anywhere. You got to be patient. And God so wisely tells us you got to run with patience. Amen. That's pretty simple, ain't it? And he didn't say, by the way, it'll be easy. God didn't say this life would be easy. Joel Osteen needs to be sued. That's a bunch of garbage that he preaches. It ain't all smiles and giggles. That ain't life. That ain't life. Life ain't all fun. It ain't. It's hard. Matter of fact, you don't know what the Bible says? It's the opposite of easy. Listen to what the Bible says. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know what Job said? Job said, Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. That's what the Bible says. The word patience, listen to this. The word patience means endurance. Endurance. It means settling in for the long haul. If you don't take nothing home tonight, take this home. Anybody can run a 40-yard dash. Anybody. You may be breathing hard at the end of it, but whoop-de-doo, I can go out there and run a 40-yard dash tonight. And I ain't prepared. I ain't done nothing to get ready for it. But even I could run the 40-yard dash. But we ain't in a dash. We ain't in a 100-yard meter. We are in a lifelong race. And if you're going to make it, we're going to have to learn something about endurance. Have you figured this out? It don't come naturally. You don't eat what you want to eat and run a marathon. You don't work out on your basis and do what you want to do with your own routine and regimen and expect to run marathons. It don't happen. If you're going to run long distance, you must do something to change your endurance or you won't make it. It's just a fact. Raise your hand if you could go out tonight, and I'll bet you if you can go out tonight and run a marathon. I want to see if we got anybody. Anybody? Any takers? No. I didn't think so. And I sure can't. But if you was, and for those who do, you know the only people that I know who can, you know what they do? They prepare daily. They plan daily. And they pace themselves daily because it's a long distance run. It's a long haul. And they set themselves. And I can honestly say, biblically say, bodily exercise profiteth little. I got the Bible on my side, praise the Lord. Profiteth little. Are you listening? However, I can call them fools for running marathons and say they're crazy for wasting their time. And I believe that. That's moronic. I can find something better to do than run. I can find a spoon or a fork and enjoy myself. I can go do a whole lot of things besides running, and I think that's foolish. But there's a lot of people that do it. Now, hear me. I may think they're foolish. I may. But I know we are foolish. Because they are planning and preparing to do something bodily. And we know we're in a race and we fail to prepare. And we fail to do anything to prep ourselves for this long haul we're on. And who's foolish? Lord help me. Lord help me. Amen. I can afford to have that mentality. I'll eat what I want. I'll do what I want. Physically, I can't afford that spiritually. And you can't either. You can't either. So, it means settling in for the long haul. It carries the idea of commitment to the race in spite of the obstacles or the difficulties. Don't be a Roman candle Christian. Poof. 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 Just a bright light and a flash and a boom. And you over. And you done. Don't be an Alka-Seltzer Christian. Fizz, fizz, puss, puss. And you done. It may look pretty for a moment, but there's no substance to it. There's nothing lasting to it. It ain't going to help you over the long haul at all. Listen. We have to change our mindset if we're going to make it and not be discouraged in this haul we're on. We got to be okay with just being steady. Just steady. Just steady. Set a pace and stick to it. And if you get behind, you don't have to kill yourself to get back up. Because again, this ain't about winning. It ain't about where you place. It's about placing. Right. It's about finishing. Yeah. Amen. And so, be steady. If you are a teacher, be a steady teacher. Be trustworthy. Be faithful. Be a teacher. Like the teachers, praise the Lord, that I had. My Sunday school teachers, I can call them every one of them that I grew up with by name. Every one of them. You know why? They were faithful. They were steady. They were there with the Word of God, with a mean little boy in the Sunday school class who I'm sure they thought wasn't getting a blessed thing. But most of my theology come from little box rooms with Sunday school teachers who had steadiness to them, who wasn't going to quit over every little Michael John Rochester in their class, who played tricks, who was the class clown, who never paid attention, but who got probably more than the rest because God had mercy on them. And because as a teacher, whether it was Ole Miss, whether it's Paul Freeman, and I could go all down the line of godly people who wasn't Roman candles and just glaring and fluorescent for everybody to see, but they were steady and faithful and they lasted through my life and had such an impact. Amen. And you can be that for other people that need you. Amen. That's right. So, make up your mind. If you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, y'all preachers listen. If your name ain't on the marquee by next year, get over yourself. Amen. Lord, help. If it's never on one, get over it. You ain't in it for people or men's applause. That's exactly right. Find a prison. Find a jail. Find a nursing home. And I could preach y'all for hours about the years and years and years that nobody ever heard my voice or seen me. But it was in a little room behind bars to people cussing me and spitting at me and didn't know they was in the world. Or sure didn't know I was in the world. Crazy people. But you know what I did? I kept going. Amen. And I kept going. You know why? Because God honors faithfulness. Period. That's exactly right. So if you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, be steady. If you're a parent, be steady. Be stable. If you're a prayer warrior, be steady. If you don't pray an hour a day, okay, fine. Pray five a day, steadily. Make it 2 days in a row, 5 minutes. Is that asking too much? Pray this week every day, 5 minutes a day. Amen. Be at church every service this month. Be a steady church member. Run your race and settle in for the long haul. Make up your mind and commit to the race. Now, number two. Commit to a life of faithful running. Number two. And I'm going to get a little lighter. So, breathe. And commit to a life of focused running. Not just faithful running. But I'm sincere about this part. I was thinking about this today and studying and meditating today and praying. And we got to refocus our attention. The things that we are focused on, I believe, for the most part, and I'm not going to get back onto phones and all the stuff that our eyes are enamored with and or the ear waves, but we got to refocus on what matters. You know what matters? People matter. People matter. When it's all not bank accounts, not job titles, not how successful you are. I'm gonna tell you what matters. People matters. You wanna know how I can prove that? What did Jesus die for? Money? No. What did he die for? Who did he die for? People. And you know at the end of your life what won't matter a lick to you? How much money you have in the bank? It don't matter. You don't care. You'd give it all away for just a little bit more time with people. People is what matter. And we need to refocus on, number one, a person. And his name is Jesus. And then he'll help us to focus on people. Because that's what he's focused on. Amen. As we run this race, we're to keep ourselves focused. We're to concentrate on things that will prevent us from becoming discouraged as we run this race. The writer tells us these things. Listen, focused on the person of Jesus. Listen, it said right here in our text, looking unto who? It didn't say looking unto what. It said looking unto Jesus. The person of Jesus Christ. That's who we ought to be focused on. If you focus on even the wrong, listen, forget the wrong thing for a minute. If you focus on the wrong people, you'll get discouraged. And the wrong people can be anybody at any given time. I can be the wrong person. If you focus on me enough, you'll get discouraged. If I focus on you enough, I'll get discouraged. If you don't believe me, ask me. I'm just kidding. I'm sincere. But you will not get discouraged focused on him. If you can learn and refocus yourself and your faith and your sight on Christ, you will automatically rise out of discouragement. And so, he said, looking unto Jesus. That is how the Christian life began, remember? How did you get saved? How did you? Remember? Remember? You looked. And for the first time in your life, you saw him. No, not with visual eyes, but by faith. That was black, that you could not see, for the first time in your life was illuminated. God flipped the light switch on and you saw for the first time him. Remember that? Remember falling in love with him? Remember saying, I'll do whatever it takes to have him? I'm yours and you're mine. Remember that? That's how you got in this race. And by the grace of God, that's how you must end it. And that's how we must travel all the way through. Looking at him. By the way, after looking at him, anything else is going to be less than. No wonder we're dissatisfied. Because after looking at him, looking at anybody or anything else is less than. It all began with a look. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Looking got us in the race, and keeping our eyes focused on him helps us to do well running the race. Notice the phrase in verse 1. The race that is set before us. It seems to indicate that we each run our own. Now, I mentioned this morning. I'm hitting it in a hurry tonight. I'm not going to stay here tonight. But I cannot run your race, and you cannot run my race. So get your nose and your eyeballs out of my lane. I'm trying to help you. While I get my eyeballs out of your lane, because ain't neither one of us doing nothing but tripping each other while we're watching each other. He's going to misstep. I can tell it. I can feel it. He's going to step over the line. Yeah. And you all up out of bounds while you're watching me. Don't do nobody no good to watch everybody else run. Anybody. Clifford Phillips used to preach a message about taters in the church. Spectators and dictators and all these other kind of taters. Anybody can spectate. Anybody can sit up in the high nosebleed section and tell how to win a ball game. Wait, them 400-pound men are down there about to rip your head off. No, it's all different when you're down there doing it. It's easy from the bleachers. Get in your lane and run your race. And as I said this morning, if we'll get busy doing that, we ain't got time to. I ain't got time. I promise you, I ain't got time to run your race. I'm busy running mine. I keep myself busy. I'm a full-time job, Brother Ned. Just me. Staying in my lane. That's the truth. Lord, help us run our race. The race that is set before us. Listen, run yours. Run yours. I can't run yours. You can't run mine. The only way any of us can run well is to keep our eyes what? Focused. Focused. Just focus. It's so easy to get distracted by all the and all what they're saying and what they're doing and how they're acting. Just run your race. Focusing on the prize. And he's the prize. He's the person. He's the judge. He's the author and finisher of this race. He's the one that gives out the rewards, not me, not you. It's him that's going to be standing at the finish line. Look to him. Who cares what the brethren think? Who cares what Sister Wiggledraw said? Run your race with him being the focus, and you'll be fine. Promise. I promise, there's always going to be a naysayer. Always. If you're doing it right as rain, there's going to be somebody trying to cut it down and say it ain't right. Focus on him and run. Steady. Make progress. Not only focus on the person of Jesus, but focus on the performance of Jesus. Listen, he has already run this race. He knows the layout. He knows the track. I was listening to a preacher preach today. I'm going to have him come preach here. It was unbelievable. But he was talking about, it was stuff I know, but I ain't thought about in a long time. But just, how there's nothing that we'll ever go through. He's talking about the humanity of Christ, how Christ over 70 times in the Word of God, in the Gospels, 70 times Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man because he wanted to identify with us. He loved us that much. And how his own brothers and sisters, they didn't believe he was God. They thought he had lost his mind. They didn't believe until he rose from the dead. And so his point was he's felt every feeling, every rejection, every bullying, every wrong cross word, any wrong bad feeling. He's felt it. And he's felt it deeper than you've ever felt it.
That's right.
He knows the track. He knows the raceway. And he's been there and he's already run it. He's done this before.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to focus on him.
Amen.
And follow him. You won't go wrong doing it. And as we run the race of life, we need to take courage in the fact that Jesus has already passed us. Well, he ran the race ahead of us and completed it. Isaiah, some of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, 45 verse 2 says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Listen, I will give thee treasures out of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name and have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord. There's none else, there's no God beside me. I girded thee that thou mayest know, though thou hast not known me. He's already went before you and made the places you'd run right off the curve. He straightened it out for you. He's made the bridges wider so you wouldn't go over the edge. He's prepared the trail in front of you so you can make it. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. He knew his share of trials. Are you listening? In the race of life. Let me mention these quickly. He successfully navigated his course and listened at the odds he faced. He was born to an unwed mother. He was born in a stable. He was born to poor parents. His life was threatened as a baby. His birth was the cause of terrible suffering. He was moved many times as a baby. He was raised in a despicable town. His father died when he was very young. He had to support his own family, probably from about the age of 12. He had no home, no place to lay his head. He was hated and opposed by others. He was charged with insanity, even by his family. He was charged with demon possession. He was opposed by his own family. He was rejected, hated, and opposed by the audiences who came to hear him speak. He was betrayed by a close friend. He was left alone, rejected, and forsaken by all his friends. He was tried before the high court of the land and tried for treason and falsely accused. He was executed as a common criminal by means of crucifixion. Wouldn't you say that was a rough patch from birth to death? Yes, he... But through it all, he all the way to then, he went a little further, the Bible said, and then on the cross, he cried, it is finished. He made it. He fought his fight. He finished his course. Not only did he finish our race for us, but he fixed it for us. I will let you in on a secret this evening. Jesus not only run this race for us, but he won it, and he's fixed it so it's guaranteed, we win. You don't have to win it. It's won. And that's huge. He has already given us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number three in closing, and I'm not going to preach this, I'm just going to give it to you. Commit, number one, to a life of faithful running. Number two, commit to a life of focused running. Number three, commit to a life of fulfilled running. Another lesson we can draw from this passage is the truth that it does not have to be a discouraging venture. It can be a fulfilling adventure. It don't have to be discouraging and just clawing through the holes. It can be absolutely encouraging to live the Christian life. It's the greatest life there. It can be the most fulfilling thing you ever do. Be honest, everybody, and come back to me. I know y'all smelling nachos by now already. I know the worst thing a preacher can ever do is tell you there's food before the service, because you automatically go on the clock then. But listen to me. What was the greatest fulfillment in your life to date? When that baby was born? My wife looked at you. You wouldn't know nothing about that. You better not. Wasn't it amazing when those, plural, babies? Why ain't that fulfilling? Great. It's wonderful. Your marriage, that wedding day. Boy, wasn't that fulfilling to finally check that off the list? I remember thinking, the Lord will come back before I get old enough to drive. I'll never get to drive. The Lord will come back before I ever get to marry a woman. The Lord will come back before I ever have a child. I remember thinking that way. And then, one by one, I've had those fulfilling events happen in my life. It's been amazing. It's been great. It's been wonderful. However, my marriage, as wonderful as it is, pales in comparison to the fulfillment I found in Christ day one. The birth of my children, as amazing as they were, pales in the fulfillment it brings to me personally as what Christ has given me. And I mean that. And I love my children, and they are the greatest things in my life apart from my wife, second to Jesus. I mean that. And if you've ever been truly saved, you know that to be true. There's never been anything like getting saved. I mean, washed in the blood of Jesus, forgiven of your sin, being guiltless for the first time ever. There's nothing more fulfilling. There's no greater feeling. To know you'll never burn in hell ever. And ain't nothing the devil or hell can do about it. There ain't nothing I can trip up and do about it. I'm saved and as though I were already there. That's fulfilling. My children, my wife, they can't give that to me. But Jesus can and did. He fixed my race. I'm going to win. And if you're saved, He fixed yours. And you're going to win. Just finish. It's fulfilling. Being a Christian is the most fulfilling thing we'll ever do. It is. And I'm done. I'm just going to be done right there. But listen, this is the truth, and I'm done. This is the truth. If I'll learn how to consider Him, and while considering Him, I can make some commitments, three of them that we dealt with. I'm going to run this race of life faithful while I consider Him. I'm going to run this race while considering Him, focused on Him. And I'm going to run this race allowing my life to be fulfilled by Him. And if I'll do that, I'll be the best husband, and I'll be more fulfilling as a husband. I'll be the best daddy and be way more fulfilling as a pastor, as a preacher, if I can run my race with patience, considering Him, committed to Him and running for Him. You can be the best person and the most fulfilled person, and that is what brings you up out of the dissatisfaction and the doldrums of the have-to Christian life. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, help us receive Your word with gladness. Oh, Lord. God, I can't give it to people. Only You can. So I pray You would take Your word and put it into the hearts of Your people and change our lives for Jesus' sake. Oh, Lord, help us to refocus on things, God, on You. God, the author and finisher of our faith, I pray, Lord, You would help us, God, to put aside and lay aside every sin and weight. God, help us tonight to receive what You've given us without re-preaching it or re-saying it, Lord, just to receive it. God, it's what my heart's desire is to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. These are